Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program, Al Fiqh ala al Madahib al Arba'a, Jurisprudence according to the Four Schools of Thought. Today's date is the 1st of Dhul Qa'dah, 1443, corresponding to their Gregorian calendar, the 2nd of June 2022. We have our Honorable Mufti Saab, who is currently in Nelspruit. Let's welcome Hazrat Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Ma'azad Khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, how is your trip thus far?
No, alhamdulillah, everything went very well. We arrived here in Nelspruit yesterday at around 10:45, and then we did the bless of marriage with Maulana Arafat. And then, mashallah, that at night I had a program here in the what they call Majid Furqan, our brothers from Somalia, Ethiopia. So that was about 10-15 minutes in Arabic program. And then at night we had a program day in the Musalla. So it was well, mashallah, everything went well. And then we went to White River by Maa Gardi. Allah give him Shifa. Amen. And this morning we had a program there. So alhamdulillah, and now we just left from there and we arrived now into Nelspruit. So everything is fine. Allah Ta'ala make it easy. The weather is nice here. Nighttime is but cool, but daytime, mashallah, is very nice, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah. Mufti Saab, our topic today is on Hajj, and we're going to discuss the Mina and various other places in Makkah. Mufti Saab, why is Mina called Mina?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we're taking the listeners on a journey of love, the journey of Hajj. And that is that we are, remember, going first to Medina Munawwara. And then from Medina Munawwara, we went to Mecca. And then normally what happens is, on the 1st of Zulhijjah, or on the 4th of Zulhijjah, depending which package a person takes, then he or she, they transfer them there to Azizia. And then explain to you that Azizia is a suburb of Makkah Mukarrama. Then on the 8th of Zulhijjah, Yawm al-Tarwiyah means the day of quenching the thirst. Like how nowadays you want to go on a journey, you have to check the petrol, diesel, oil, air, all that. So in those days, they would ensure the camels were well fed. They gave them water, quenched their thirst, because then they won't see water for the next 3-4 days, and then they'll bring them back. So that's why it's called Yawm al-Tarwiyah. So your journey now will be from Makkah Mukarrama to Mina, or it will be from Azizia to Mina. So this is on the first day of Hajj. So Makkah, we told you already that Makkah means to crush and break. We all are master somebody in our home country, and when we come there, we are master nobody, we non-entities. And Mina means to drop. So what it means, that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu salam, Quran Sharif teaches us, فَاتَّبِئُوا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. So you must follow, remember, in the religion and culture of Nabi Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salatu salam. So he took his son there, Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu salam, Surah number 37, verses 100, 101, 102, 103, all mentioned in detail in Surah Swafat, after Surah Yasin. And he sacrificed his son. Not that he didn't. He sacrificed his son. But Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, with his decree, infinite grace and mercy, rescued and saved the life of Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu salam. And then the name was given, وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. So there the blood was spilling and oozing out. So that is the meaning of مِمَّنِيِّ يُمْنَى. So there a similar word is mentioned in a noble Quran. So Mina means that the place where the blood blood will be oozing out, gushing out, and so forth. Why is Mina important? Every Nabi went to Mina, Arafat, and so forth, because you must remember the Jamarat are there, the symbolic shaitans are there. So what are the symbolic shaitan? That is the three places where the shaitan tried his waswasa and whisperings to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. But Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam knew this is the attack and assault of shaitan, and he picked up, you must remember, pebble or whatever, and threw it in that direction. So therefore we are following the Anbiya and Prophet alayhi salam, and we are chasing away the evil forces. So that is our real intention there. Next one, remember Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he, the master alayhi wasallam, came to Mina, then it was the Thursday, because Arafat was a Friday. So Yawm al-Tarwiyah. And then the Hanbi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Sahaba that wherever you find place, you can settle down, and you must do three things. This is the definition of al-hajjul mabrur. That if Shah Salam makes Salam common and give it currency amongst yourself, and you feed the poor people. And the third one will mean that a person remember that Tayyibul Kalam or Tayyibul Kalam, Layyinul Kalam, that he speaks in a soft manner. So when we fulfill all three, we fed the poor, we spoke, remember, in a nice, polite manner, and you gave salam currency. So when we do that, that is what we will call a Hajj Mabrur. So Zuhur, normally you leave after sunrise on the first day from Azizia or from Makkah. And then when you reach Mina, you reach Zuhur in Zuhur time, Asr in Asr time, Maghrib in Maghrib time, Isha in Isha time. So that is the first day, and then you spend the night day in Mina. So that is what really happens. And remember Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read Salat day in what we call Masjidul Khayf in Mina. So these are the most important places one should know about Mina. I think I mentioned before, but anyway we can repeat it, that people today go and you see in the men's side, they have the urinals where people stand and urinate. That's a disgrace, remember that. Now, how can a person manage and keep his iman and haya intact? And there are women there on the opposite side. So all this is haram and not possible. Therefore, we must educate our people regarding Hajj, regarding Umrah as well.
Mufti Sahib, what is the meaning of Arafah?
Arafat means that a person recognizes Almighty Allah Jalla Wala transferred. Remember, Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam, Sayyidina Hawa radiallahu anha, from Jannah here to the dunya. And when they landed, this is not Quran or Hadith, but the books of history, tell us that he, Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam, he landed there in Sri Lanka, Ceylon. And she said, Hawa radiallahu anha, she was transferred and she landed there, what we'll call Jadda. So Jadda means the grandmother. So that is where, but this is history. And then they walked and walked and they met and recognized one another there in Arafat, hence the name. So ma min nabiyin illa waqad hajja, every nabi performed hajj and came to Arafat. If you look at the dua in Tirmidhi, you will find it in authentic hadith. Dua'i wa dua'ul anbiya min qabli. My dua for Arafat and dua for the prophets and messengers alayhimu salatu wassalam. Remember, in Arafat is what we call the fourth kalima. La ilaha illallah wahdahu, la sharika lahu, lahul mulku, wa lahul hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. So every Nabi recited this dua. Now one question comes, hadith in Tirmidhi. Imam Tirmidhi rahimahu said, al-hajju Arafah. Then what is Arafat? To be present day in the state of the Ihram, and you must remember, you know, Arafat. So therefore Nabi alayhi salam said Al-Hajj Arafah. Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah, speaking, commenting on this hadith, said, وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثُ أُمُّ الْمَنَاسِكُ. This hadith here is the mother of all the actions of Hajj. So the most important aspect is that wukuf Arafat. So why did Arafat is out of the Haram? Makkah, Mina, Muzdalifah constitutes the Haram. But this area is out of the Haram. So now the question arises that why did Almighty Allah choose this? So in Musnad Ahmad Jufayn, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that remember that people that they in the realm of the souls, realm of the arwah, so Ahad, a pledge was taken from them, and that is Alastu bi Rabbikum, am I not your sustainer, nourisher, provider? So they said Qalu Bala. So that pledge was taken in Arafat. Like how every year we have to renew our license. So remember that we have to, renew our license. So yeah, we renew our pledge and our covenant with Almighty Allah, Jalla wa'ala. Therefore, when we go for Hajj, I tell the people, say, Anta Rabbuna, Anta Rabbuna. You are our sustainer, nourisher, and provider. So that is what we should know, remember that. And Almighty Allah, Jalla wa'ala, speaks of this. Allah stool bi Rabbikum qawlu bala. So, therefore, Arafat is so important. And then we tell the people to complete the Quran Sharif there. And it's a day of dua. Therefore, salat time is changed. That you combine the Zohr and the Asr Salat together. And in that way, the whole afternoon is dedicated to dua, dua, and dua all the time. So remember, that is what you must understand for Arafat. And Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered the memorable khutbah there in Arafat and so forth. So we see that Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala is telling us about the importance. Summa afidu min haythu afadu an-nas wa astaghfirullah. So Arafat is Ummul Manasik, the greatest dimension and aspect of Hajj. So that's why it's of paramount importance.
Mufti Sahib, what is the meaning of Muzdalifah?
So when you come now from Mina, the first day is the introductory day, everything is Sunnah. And then you will come to Arafat the second day. And normally we feed the Hujjaj and all of that day in Mina, Arafat, whoever we can find. And we find that millions of people are there, Alhamdulillah. And then we go from there after sunset from Arafat to Muzdalifah. Muzdalifah is a combining. So combination. So what we do, we combine the Salat there in Muzdalifah. After we read Muzdalifah, Zohar, Asr we read in Arafat, Maghrib and Isha we read there in Muzdalifah. And that night Abuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua there and read Maghrib Isha there, and thereafter spend the whole night and that Fajr Salat there. This is known as Mabit and Muzdalifah, spending the night in Muzdalifah. So that is very, very important from an academic point of view, because we are discussing fiqh. So remember that Shafi is Malik is humbly say, after midnight you can leave Muzdalifah. But Hanafi say, no, you must stay there till Fajr. And it's best for everybody to stay there. So in that maximum benefit, and we find that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has made it easy nowadays that you can walk, there are buses, so many things available. And inshallah, that once you reach Muzdalifah, so you perform your Maghrib, then your Isha, and then the Sunnahs of Maghrib, and then what Isha and Witr if you want, all that. Otherwise, the Hajj time, and you pick up the pebbles there. And then Fajr, you'll read there. And after Fajr, so remember, the first day, you leave after sunrise. Second day, you leave after sunrise. When you leave from Muzdalifah, then it is Qabla Tulu Shams, before sunrise. Why? To make mukhalafa and to oppose what the mushrikeen and the polytheists used to do. So that is what we should understand. And thereafter, inshallah, that you will go back to Mina, and that will usher in now the third day of Hajj.
Mufti Sahib, what is Tan'im and what incident took place at Tan'im?
So remember that when a person comes back to Mina, the third day is very busy day. So let me just finish that. And inshallah, that person there will have to pelt the big shaitan. And once you pelt, then your lapek is finished. Thereafter is the slaughtering day in slaughter goat, camel. And thereafter, you can slaughter all that, and then you shave your hair, and after that everything is halal for that person there except husband wife relationship. Then we find the tawaf ziyarat is compulsory, and after tawaf ziyarat then you read 2 rakat salat, and then safa marwa, and thereafter wife husband wife relationship also is permissible. Regarding tan'im, we must remember that Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that when she came with the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they were entering Makkah, she was there in Sharif. Sharif is the place where Sayyida Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha is buried, and she made intention for Umrah. And after that, what had happened was that when she made intention for Umrah, then her napaki, her menses started, and we find that what had happened was she could not perform her Umrah. And in a case like that, then she performed the Hajj, Ifrad Hajj she made, and then we find that on the night of the 14th, then in that way there, she was crying. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told her, okay, you go with your brother, that is Abdul Rahman, and you perform the Umrah from Tan'im. So that's why that masjid is called Masjid Aisha, or Masjid Umrah, and so forth and so on. So she now also had performed Umrah. Now for us, for our purpose, I want to share something very, very strange what happened there. One battle, they were Sahaba who were captured by the enemy. And when they were captured by the enemy, so this was Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala an. All this is in Bukhari Sharif, Fathul Bari, Umdatul Qari, you will find it there. So when they captured Khubayb radiallahu an, so he knew that they are going to kill him, execute him, but they will not do so in the Haram. So they took him to Tan'im. And when they took him to Tan'im, he told them, okay, I will now read 2 rakat salat. So, awwalu man salla salat qabl al-maut. The first person to initiate this was Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala an. And he told them that don't think I'm fearing death. But in that he read a powerful dua, and we all should learn this dua. And he said, Ya Allah, these people, these zalims, these transgressors, and poor dictators, Allahumma ahsihim adada. Ya Allah, you take them one by one. Waqtuluhum badada. And then you destroy them, kill them. And wala tubqi minhum ahada. Don't leave any one of them. In matter of few months, all of them perished. And he, not only they martyred him, but then they hanged him and crucified him. Awwalu maslubin fil Islam. The first person to be crucified in the history of Islam was him, Khubayb radiallahu anhu. And all this happened there at Tan'im. And whilst he was a prisoner in the hands of the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the idol worshippers, that one day he had the moose is a razor, and the child, the baby, like, you know, infant was walking, and the children, innocent masoom, she walked in the direction of Khubayb. So one side he's got the child, one side he's got the razor, and now the family, the mother of the child is looking. Then this person, the prisoner, he can just take the razor and kill our child. So he noticed the apprehension and fear. He told them, no, we don't do these type of things. We are Muslims. We will not harm the child and children. In Islam, that is prohibited. Then they say, ni'mal asiru huwa. What a prisoner of war he was, that is Khubayb. Wallahi, we used to see fruit and all that coming to him that were not available anyway in Makkah, like Sayyida Maryam radiallahu anha. كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها رزقا. That every time Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam entered, then he would find his food there, fruit there. قال يا مريم أنى لك هذا. From where you are getting all this? قالت هو من عند الله. This is from Almighty Allah. So كرامة لهذه المرأة الصالحة. So to honor this pious great lady, مريم البتول, مريم الأزراء, Allah جل وعلا showed the كرامة and honor for her. So same thing for very similar to سيدنا خبيب بن عدي رضي الله عنه. All this happened. So when we go to Tanhim, then we should remember all these places. People just go there quick, they read two rakat salat and they come back. They don't know the history of this. So this all started on the night of the 14th. Because Umrah, the 9th, the 10th, the 11th, the 12th, 13th, you can't make Umrah. But from the night of the 14th, you can start making Umrah again. So she, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, went with her brother Abdul Rahman radiallahu anha, and then they performed the Umrah from there. That is how that place became famous, and therefore people know it as Masjid Aisha, or they know the area as Tan'im, or Masjidul Umrah. Over time, different names have been designated and given to that place.
We welcome our listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, back to this program. Mufti Sahab, what is the meaning of Mu'alla?
Remember that when a person goes to Makkah, Medina, then obviously people want to know the history of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and where they are buried and so forth and so on. So I took you already through the journey of Medina and Baqi. There the graveyard is called Baqi al-Gharqad. That is the proper name, Baqi. Our people, especially from Indo-Pakistan and so forth, they use the word Jannatul Baqi. Jannatul Baqi is just our ulama's term. Because when a person passes away, what Iman, Islam in Makkah, Medina, then inshallah you'll go to Jannat. So therefore you can use it, it's no problem. But the proper name in Medina Munawwara is Baqi or Baqi'ul Gharqad. And when you study Makkah Mukarrama, then you must know easy way for to explain to our people because they'll know these areas here. So let's start from there. You see where the Hilton Hotel is, where the Zamzam is, all the tall high buildings and tall, you know, skyscrapers are nowadays. So that area there is called Misfala. So when you study Makkah, then Makkah has got different areas. So that area there is called Misfala, the lower region of Makkah, Misfala. When you go up, so where the graveyard is and so forth, so that is called Mu'alla, the higher region, the upper region. And that is where the graveyard is and so forth. And that whole area where the graveyard is, that is called Hajun. So our people should know all these type of things, you know. Sometimes they go, then they don't know all these kind of places, and then they wonder what's happening. So obviously now in Makkah Mukarrama, because there are thousands of people passing away every year, whether Ramadan time, Hajj time, or other times. So now, you know, the crowds are getting big again. We know 2020, there was no real Hajj for the foreigners. 2021. There was no Hajj for the foreigners. This year again it's opened up. Allah alone knows how many people will really perform Hajj, locals and foreigners and so forth. But we encourage everybody who's made niyat and intention to go. And not only that, we should make intention that we pass away there as well with Iman and Islam. The best graveyard is Medina Munawwara. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, man istata'a minkum ayyamuta bil Madina. whosoever can pass away in Medina Munawwara should do so. Why? فَإِنِّي أَشْفَعُ لَكُمْ, then I will intercede for you. This means that the first people for whom Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede will be the people who are buried in Medina Munawwara, then Makkah Mukarramah, and then the other places. And in Tabarani, it is mentioned that if a person passes away, fi ahadil haramain, so remember either in Medina Munawwara or Makkah Mukarrama, then he also, inshallah, falahul jannah. For such people, there is paradise and jannah, and they will be ma'amun and protected from punishment and so forth. So there's no doubt, there's great, great virtue. Therefore, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, as mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, used to make dua, Allahumma zukni shahadatan fi sabilik. Oh Almighty Allah Jalla wala, grant me Almighty Allah Jalla wala, grant me martyrdom fi sabilik, in your path. Waj'al mawti bi baladi rasulik, and let me pass away in the city of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that also you can use as a dalil and evidence that it's very, very good sign that a person is buried there. Now let us start. We're coming from Makkah, and now we are traveling, you must remember, towards Mu'alla. In the olden days, there was a big market there. And remember that market was called Sukul Layl. Sukul Layl. So nighttime used to be open and so forth. When we went first time in 74, there was a market there from Safa Marwa, you go up, and now you are going towards the cemetery graveyard. They used to call it Chapra Market. So Chapra Market means they had a roof there, ceiling there, and up and down people were busy. All that now is demolished all over because of the extension and expansion and so forth. And when you are going, you know, there's another point Allah just put in my mind now, which is very important for our esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So from the graveyard, from the Safa Marwa, the Mas'a, the place of Sa'i, so you're going from Safa Marwa to the graveyard, so on the right-hand side, I normally stop there, and the men who are there, or the women who are with us, Ziyarat time, graveyard, they can't come, but Ziyarat when we're going, so then we stop there, and I show them. So there is a library, and that is the place where, according to majority of the scholars, Miladun Nabi al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took place. The honorable birth of the master Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took place. So this is now all walking. But people are lazy. So nowadays we tell people, okay, we'll go with a taxi or so. Then more brothers join. You know, 2, 3, 4 taxis you take, depending how many brothers. Then when you enter, so you must remember that is the extension site. So the new site. And then when you enter, then you go under a bridge. On top the cars are crossing and so forth, the buses. And then you're going to go right on top. So when you go right on top, then you will find the grave Mubarak of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. She passed away, remember, in the month of Ramadan. And this was Qabl al-Hijrah. Prior to Mustafa, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's migration from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. In fact, there was no Salatul Janaza at that time also. So therefore, this is a trick question. When I was to teach in Madrasa Darulum, I used to say that Man Swalla Salatul Janaza li Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. Who performed the Salatul Janaza? So everybody would say Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but there was no Janaza at that time then. So when you go right up, you will see our Honorable Mother in Bukhari Sharif is mentioned, Innaha Kanat wa Kanat. Her place is unique in Islam. Her rank and status is one of the highest. She is the first person, male, female, adult and children, to embrace Islam. Alal itlaq. So remember that. So who can forget all her sacrifices and so forth? So a unique, unique place for her. So it is we must show our love and respect respect and affinity and love the Ahlul Bayt. She is part of the household of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, go make dua there and so forth. For ourselves, our families, our children, and our, remember the Ummah the Muslimah. So that's very, very good. Then when you go further up, now further up, they don't allow people. You must remember, they close it. But each day, they leave it open. So may Allah's Fazl, we went there many times, Ramadan time and so forth. So if you go to the Qabristan, to Mu'alla each day, then you will see the top portion is also buried, is also open. And there you will see many old, old graves. So there they say that Abu Talib and all of them, said Ali, radiallahu anhu's father, he passed away non-Muslim. We must be clear on that. And mentioned in Bukhari Sharif as well. But they all buried that side there, right on top. So you go right on top. Then when you come down, then you will find Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu's grave there. You will find Asma bint Abi Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu's grave. Like that, there are thousands of Sahaba's grave. But what we can pinpoint now, I'm speaking about, who is Abdullah bin Zubair? Awwal mawludin fil Madinah ba'd al-hijrah. Mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, the first baby and child to be born in Madinah Munawwara after the migration, remember that. And thereafter we find that he, Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, when they brought him to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for tahniq, the master alayhi salatu salam placed his busaq mubarak, his saliva mubarak in his mouth. Imagine the first thing to enter his mouth was the spit, the saliva mubarak of the master, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is of paramount importance. Now his mother, remember, is Asma. She was 100 years old when she passed away, and none of her teeth had fallen, and this was in the year 73. So what had happened was, Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala was martyred, and then remember, before that he came to his mother, to Asma radiallahu anha, and he told her, oh mother, you know I'm going out in battle now, and most probably these enemies will kill me, and then not only hang me, but they will execute me, and then they'll hang me, crucify me, and they will maybe mutilate my body. See the mother, quwwat imani, your mothers, your sisters, you should learn this type of lessons. So Asma radiallahu anha, the daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha, addresses her son, Abdullah bin Zubair. So Zubair bin Awam is the father, and Asma bint Abu Bakr are the mother, and the son here, you must remember, so is Abdullah bin Zubair. So the mother is giving him advice. Inna shata la tata'allam ba'dal insilakh. When you have a goat or a sheep, and then it is sacrificed and slaughtered. So after that, when they take out the hide, they take out the skin, or they rip it off, you will not feel any pain. So let them do what they're doing, but you must stay on truth, and don't deviate from the truth. So that is what made him, Abdullah bin Zubayr, so firm and solid in the path of Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, that he took all the advices, then he went in front. And remember, the people saw him now, because now you must remember that they were waiting for him, and a battle erupted. They beat him, and that was how he was martyred, and he was, you know, sacrificed, and he was mutilated, and he was, you know, like even crucified, Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu. So he is buried there. And then you go to his mother's grave, Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anhu. So like that, you will find thousands of Sahaba, thousands of students of the Sahaba, Tabi'in, Mujahid. I give you one example of a Tabi'i Mujahid. His great teacher is who? Abbas radiallahu ta'ala numa. So Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu numa is his teacher. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu numa passes away in the year 68, and he is buried in Ta'if, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu numa. So the last 3 years of his life, 65, 66, 67, because 68 he passes away. So depending how you want to count it, but there's not so important, like the message. So he celebrated student in Mujahid. So Mujahid says, I sat there by him and by Abdullah ibn Abbas, and every ayat has to ask him the tafsir. Every ayat would ask him, remember that for who this verse was revealed and so forth. So all that is to teach me. And then when the time came of death, so when the time came for death, now Mujahid has to pass away. How does he pass away? He passes away, the Tilmid Rashid, the celebrated student of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, he passes away, وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ أَمَامَ الْكَعْبَ الْمُشَرَّفَةِ. He was in the state of Sajda, and he's standing there in front of the Kaaba Musharrafa. So that is how Almighty Allah gives honor to whomsoever he wishes, to Izzuman Tasha, or to Dhilluman Tasha. So every one of us should understand honor, dignity lies only in what Almighty Allah states and not what people are saying and making. So that is a big, big lesson we must learn. Then Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel is buried there. Haji Imdadullah is buried there. So like that, from Newcastle, the Parak family, the old man is buried there. Our Mawlana Yunus Osman. So he was teaching, we studied together in Karachi. So his father is buried there. He passed away in an accident there in the left. And like that, thousands of people. So we know most of them, but the majority we won't know. You must remember, like South Africans, most of them we will know. But the majority were buried there, we don't know. So therefore, what we will tell people is that they must be the one, when you must remember a janaza takes place or something, people pass away in Makkah, don't say you want to transfer the body here and there and all that. You want to transfer it straight to the graveyard and the cemetery. And there in Makkah or Medina, wherever the person passed away. Second one, remember that when a person passes away there, then we should not be insisting that they must bury in Mu'alla. People give bribery and all that haram. There are three graves there, graveyards. One is Shara'i. So some South Africans, my own family members are buried there in Shara'i. It's all within Makkah and the Haram area. Because so many people have passed away, they are buried there. So every day you hear, As-salatu ala al-amwat, yarhamukumullah, 90%, 80% are taken to Shara'i. Then there's another maqbara, they call Maqbaratul Adal. And we go there, remember, to Mina, Muzdalifa. Then you pass that graveyard when you go for ziyarat. So that graveyard, you will find Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, and them, they are buried there in that graveyard there. So it's like a, you know, like a, say, royal graveyard in this sense. Anybody from the royal family dies and passes away, then remember, they buried them normally there in that. So the graveyard of justice, that will be the meaning of it.
Mufti Saab, coming to Hudaybiyah, can Mufti Saab explain to us where is Hudaybiyah and what is its significance?
It was during this month of Zulqa'dah, and it was in the 6th year of the Hijrah. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a dream. Remember, for 6 years they have not seen the Kaaba Musharrafa. Their hearts, everything were longing, and they had the great desire. We want to perform Umrah and so forth. Hajj was still not compulsory. So nevertheless, then the Master alayhi salatu wasalam saw a dream. 1400 to 1500 Sahaba got ready, and both numbers are mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, and they went. And when they came to Hudaybiyah, just outside the Haram, today you won't see a board showing Hudaybiyah. That the board will be showing Shumaysiyah. What the board showing? Shumaysiyah. That Shumaysiyah is Hudaybiyah. So that is the original name, and we must keep up that name. So when they came there, then that time Abu Sufyan, Khalid bin Walid, all of them, not Muslim, they said, no, you can't perform Umrah. So the Sahaba were very, very disappointed. And you know, now what does they do? So Umm Salama was a very intelligent lady. She suggested to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you tell them, the Sahaba, the beloved students, that what they need to do is that they must now remove their hair and come out of Ihram. So that was the suggestion that Umm Salama told Nabi alayhi salam, you do so, and then the Sahaba will do that. And that's exactly what happened. So this is Hudaybiyah, known as Shumaysiyah. So when they were about to return, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala revealed the surah, Suratul Fath, chapter 48. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. We gave you a magnificent victory. Subhanallah. But Sayyidina Umar and them were genius, could not understand that the peace treaty is in favor of the polytheists, the idol worshippers. So how can this be? But now this is 6 years Zulqa'dah. Just go 2 months front and the Battle of Khaybar takes place against the Jutlas and the Jews and the people there. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu played a prominent role and his name is mentioned in, you must remember, many a time as Fatih Khaybar. So that is Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's full name is Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib and he is, remember, Kunya Abu al-Hasan or Abu Turab also, and his title is that, you know, this thing, Imam, when they come there to Hudaybiyah, then you see that they have that, they came there and made the Sulah Hudaybiyah, and then there was a 10-year treaty. So these mushrikeen, then they violated it. In the 7th year, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba came, made Umratul Qadha. So then they now broke it. Then they realized the big mistake they made. Abu Sufyan came, then from there, Makkah, but no one was really interested. Then it was, this is the sequence of that, how the victory came. So first was Fatihah, first was Hudaybiyah, then was the Battle of Khaybar against the Jews. And remember, this is what inspires our flowers, our children of Palestine. 150 kilometers away from Medina Munawwara, Khaybar, Khaybar, Ya Yahud, Inna Jaysha Muhammad, Sofa Yahud. So that is what we need to learn. The army of Nabi alayhi salam is coming to punish you again, and we are the army of Nabi alayhi salam. Then in the 8th year, remember, was Fatih Makkah on the 21st of Ramadan, and 10,000 Sahaba came. Thereafter was the Battle of Hunain. Thereafter was the battle, remember, of Taif, and then again in Zulqa'dah. So this month of Zulqa'dah, today is the first, you must know, was the first Umrah, the aborted Umrah. Then the second Umrah in the 7th year, the first one was 6th year. So then they performed the Umrah in the 3 days. That's 14, 1,400 Sahaba, 1,500 Sahaba, like that. Then 8th year from Jirana, there Nabi alayhi salatu salam performed another Umrah. So these were the Umrahs that Nabi alayhi salatu salam performed, and we should know about this. Therefore, if people made their Umrah already and they're not interested in making another Umrah, then if they're interested, and all these youngsters, then remember, go to Jirana, tell the taxi to wait for you. And if you are a big group, then you can just stop a bus and then you go with a bus. So it's very, very easy nowadays, but the facilities are good, but we need to must remember to know the history of these places. So Jirana, and academically, when Imam Shafi rahimahullah was asked which is the best place to make Umrah from, he said Jirana. Why? It is fa'lun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amalun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we asked the Hanafi scholars which is the best place to make the Umrah from, they said Tanaim. So we say why? They said that is qawlun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the speech mubarak of the Master. He told his honorable wife, Sayyida Aisha, go there with your brother Abdul Rahman and you perform the Umrah from there. So it shows this is how you have academic discussion and debate and so forth.
Mufti Sahib, a person wants to go for Hajj this year, but there seems to be many barriers. Is there hope for such a person?
Remember, first thing is you must put your trust solely only in Almighty Allah. Don't worry about sahuk and agent and all that. That is all secondary. First thing, husnu dhanni billah. You must be positive with Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Every day read 2 rakat salat and read surah 2 verse 128. Wa arina manasikana wa tubalina innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Oh, beloved Allah, that you are the one, you show us the places of Hajj and Umrah, and you show us the places of Hajj and Umrah, and you forgive us, O Allah. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. And inshallah, you will go for Hajj. Now the issue of the money and all that. So inshallah, cry to Almighty Allah. Allah will make the asbab and the means. So I would not advise people just to cancel. Because when you made intention for Hajj, then you should go. And the Quran is telling you, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِيَ لَهُمْ. They will witness the nafa and benefit coming to them. And the clear-cut hadith, the Master alayhi salatu salam said, مَنْ أَرَادَ الْحَجَّ فَلِتَعَجَّلْ. Whoever makes haste to it. So for Hajj, so you made intention for Hajj, so make haste in it. Do not procrastinate and do not delay. So that is a big, big lesson for all of us regarding that issue.
Mufti Saab, a woman went for Hajj and started experiencing a haid. What can she do?
If she went for Umrah nowadays and then she experiences her menses, so she must wait. So when a 5 days, 6 days, 8 days finishes, then in the hotel there she will take the first ghusl, and there she won't be using any soap, any shampoo. And when you, my mother, sister, are in your menses, you can change your clothes, your underwear, everything, but you can't use soap, shampoo, lotion, all that. And once you're 100% sure that you are clean now, then you go to the Haram Sharif and you start your Umrah and perform your Umrah and complete it. And there's no dam and no penalty or something like that. Remember that. So that is one story. Second story is a person came for Hajj. So now that person there, that, you know, his wife or sister or mother, that started bleeding. So you can't blame anybody now. Almighty Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ هَذِهِ عَلَىٰ بَلَادِ آدَمْ. Almighty Allah has prescribed us. We must remember on the children, the daughters of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So therefore, no sense using the blame game, you to blame and you to blame. So you must say we all are to blame, and that is the best way of solving the problem. That of solving this problem here. Now, Hajj time. So when you go, so now we must know what intention you made. See, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha made intention of tamattu. She will make Umrah only and thereafter Hajj. But when the menses started, then Arafat day came and now she has to make Hajj. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told her, okay, leave the Umrah out. So you make Ifrad Hajj and then afterwards you can make your Umrah. So that is what happened to Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. And you take a lady now that she wants to go to Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, but she's in menses. So all the things she must do. If Ali kama yafalul hajj, ghayra Allah tatufi bil bayt, but she can't enter the Haram Sharif because of her menses, and she can't perform tawaf. So all these are issues we must be clear with, that she can't enter the Haram Sharif in that state there, and while she is in a napaki and so forth. When she's 100% clean, she will take a ghusl, and then she will perform a tawafu ziyarat, which is compulsory, and it is tawafu ifada. Hanafi is called tawafu ziyara, Shafi is, Malik is, Hanbali is called it tawafu ifada. So then she can perform all that there. But while she is like that in menses, it is absolutely haram for her to go. You must remember that, you know, inside the Haram Sharif or perform tawaf, all that is totally unacceptable and not permissible.
Will Mufti Saab be performing Hajj this year?
Remember that the Saudi regime, you know what they said? They said that if you're over 65 and dead, then you can't perform Hajj because they want people from 18 upwards and less than 65. So therefore, this year we won't be going for Hajj. And personally also, even if I had the opportunity, we shouldn't go, because you must remember with all these restrictions and all these things there, and that Murtad bin Shaitan there. So remember, we make dua Allah Ta'ala guide him or Allah Ta'ala decimate them, and then when things come back totally to normal, then only we can think of coming back. Remember this. But otherwise, you know, it's not that everybody wants to perform Hajj, but we must not perform Hajj when we are going to now cause people taklif and so forth. So that also is not right. But if a person wants to perform Hajj, remember the entry level will be at around that 100,000, 90,000, 95,000. So it's very, very expensive. Allah Ta'ala make easy for the brothers and sisters who are going for Hajj Baitullah.
Mufti Saab, last question. What is Mufti Saab's program in Nelspruit from now on?
So now I will be going from Nelspruit. I'm here by my cousin's place. Her father is Abdul Karim. And, you know, my father Ismail, they all passed away. So I'm here by their house. People know him as Johnny. Johnny Farooq Oka, he passed away. Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. So I'm here now. And mashallah, that, you know, is very comfortable for me here once you by your family and so forth and so on. So what was your question now in the ending again, Mazaid?
Where's the last question? Programs?
Yeah, so the programs here you're speaking about.
In Nelspruit.
Yeah, so in Nelspruit. So Nelspruit program we finished, mashallah. We had program in Masjid Furqan, and we had program here in the Valencia, and it was very, very well attended. Much more people came than I expected. So all, mashallah, reward all of them, and our brothers are here, Hafiz Salim, Ahmed, and all of them, and Brother Riyas. Then in the afternoon today, I will be going to Barberton, inshallah. That is where the program will be, and my father-in-law is buried there. My brother-in-law is buried there, Hafiz Salim's father. So inshallah, tomorrow we'll go to the graveyard also. So tonight will be in Barberton. After Fajr will be in Barberton, and then will be graveyard, and then Nashta, and then Rasta. So will be breakfast also. And then, so remember that after that will be that we go back to Komatipur tomorrow, and we will have Jummah tomorrow in Nath. Nath is where the foreigners are, about 30, 35, 40 kilos from Komatipur, around there. And lot of foreigners. I've had a program there once or twice before. And then we'll come back this side towards Komatipur, and we've got a program tomorrow night in Malalan. And thereafter that, you know, we'll come back to Komati, and then in the Saturday morning, we have the final program in Komatipur. So Allah Ta'ala make it easy. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. So inshallah, we'll continue with the program now. Allah Jalla wa'ala make it easy. I think that our time is up also now, so it will be news time, and then Maulana Zaid will give the programs for the remainder of the day. Barakallahu feek, jazakallahu khair, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.